Okay, we're going to do a teaching this morning. We're going to try to make it short because we're going to do the baby dedication, and I know y'all have to get going. But this is called How to Get into Divine Order. If you look around you today, you notice the world's out of order. It's crazy. Well, the sad thing is we were born into this world. This is really the way the world is. You know, when you realize all the evil stuff that's going on has been going on for centuries. But it was because in Genesis 3, there was a renegade spirit showed up in the garden and argued with Adam and Eve to take the earth that God had given to man to take dominion over. And so he became the God of this world. And when he did, the systems of this world are not God's systems. Look around you. They're not God's systems. God has his own system. He has his own way. So the best thing we can do as Christians is to get in divine order. And his word instructs us how to do that. It's like God's will is like someone leaves you an inheritance and you go to the lawyers and you sit down and he opens the will to you and he begins to read to you what that person's will was for you. People think, well, I don't know how to serve God. I don't know how to do it. Well, they never crack the will. They never look in the will. Somebody leaves me something in a will, I want to know what's in that will. What'd they leave me? Well, God lays down in his word what he's left. And as we begin to read his will, it begins to renew our minds. Okay, look around you today. We live in a world that's out of order. You're probably thinking, how did it get this way? Well, it's been that way since, like I said, Genesis 3. Everything God made is good and in order and in divine order. Okay, Genesis 3. We hear a lot about fake news today. Well, it's not just for this time. It didn't just start now or a few years ago. It started in Genesis 3. God made the heaven and the earth, chapter 1 and 2, put the man in the garden to subdue it, occupy it. He even gave him the ability to act just like God, to say, light be, light was. He could just speak, and he spoke what he wanted, and it happened. But somebody showed up. This is Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, hath said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, he didn't say you couldn't touch it. How can you tend something you can't touch? But she didn't know her word, evidently. She didn't know. She heard from hubby, I think. But God told Adam. He didn't say, don't touch it. He said, don't eat it. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Here comes the other narrative. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. Ye shall be as God. She didn't know she already was. She was like God, but she didn't know evil. Think about it. Never know evil. God didn't want him to know evil. He only wanted him to know good. When the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. They had no clue until that day happened. So what did God have to do? He had to drive them out of the garden because if they ate of the tree, they would have lived forever in a fallen state. So, thankfully, he sent Jesus. Later, Genesis 6, we see, and I'm not sure how many generations. I'm thinking it's about 10 generations, but if I'm wrong, I'll have to look it up. I know, I have known that, but at this moment, not sure. This is Genesis 6. It says, because of what happened in that day in the garden, man was pushed out of the garden, and God could no longer communicate with his man. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughter of men that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So we see here, just those however many short generations, every thought of every person was wicked in the earth. So God said, I've got to destroy the earth because they were facing extinction, much like we have felt. Like, Lord, there's no place to go. You've got to come. There's no place to go unless the church arises and starts beating back the enemy. We don't have a future if we don't. That's not to scare anybody. That's just the truth. All right, Noah's world was totally out of order, and God rescued him and his in the ark. I did a teaching, it's been many years ago, but a few weeks ago, to bring up, the Lord told me back when I was on radio, I guess, that the word is the ark is actually the word of God. Today, we're not going to have a rescue boat show up. We have the word of God, and that's our rescue today. Okay, if you want to go on AGF, and I was going to tell y'all, on the website, under, you can see all the prophecies under the Prophet's Corner, Uncut, TPC, Uncut. And then all the Sunday morning services, AGF is on there too. They're audio, you know, if you want to see what we're saying on Sunday mornings. Okay, Genesis 3, Satan stole the dominion over the earth from Adam. Adam was a traitor to God, so he chose another master. He became, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, he is now called the god of this world system. Satan became god of this world instead of mankind. All right, now let's look over to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at the two masters. There's only two. I know a lot of people say there's a lot of gods and a lot of this and that, but there's only two masters. Matthew 6, 24. Okay, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we see Satan or God. Oh, you're noisy today. All right, John 10:10 also defines the two masters. Okay, John 10:10, the latter part of the verse, I am come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. That's God. The first part of the verse is the thief. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So the two masters, one is to kill, steal, destroy, the other abundant life. Okay, I know we're doing a lot of flipping, but now back to Matthew 24. Jesus said in our day, it would be like in the days of Noah. Now, Poppy says I go too fast, but I'm trying to slow down. Yeah, 24:37. Okay, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He was talking about when he comes back again, that much of the things that they dealt with in Noah's day, with the fallen angels mating with earth women and the Nephilim or barn, the giants, all this weird stuff going on would be going on in our day. Well, they've been going on really all along. It's just we've been brainwashed We've been propagandized and things have been hidden from us and the truth hadn't been told to us until now. So we can know what to do. Okay. All right, now, let's do one more flip. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to show you the symptoms of a world out of order. We're going to start along about verse 16. Y'all ready? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see why now flat earth is so important to know the truth about flat earth, that we do not live on a spherical earth. And all the lies that have come out and all the movies about aliens coming and invading our country, it all started back in the 50s to push a narrative that we're going to be invaded by aliens when it's not true. The earth is flat, an enclosed system. There ain't nothing coming in or going out. But it says God, his creation, reveals to man the truth. If they just look in Genesis 1, they'd see. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So he's talking about people that have allowed their total thinking processes over to the evil one, and they can't see the truth. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, all the experts in the world, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Now you can see why homosexuals, they cannot serve God. They're under the other master. They may love God, and if they say, okay, Lord, I repent of this, the word of God will renew their mind and get them back to where they need to be. See, that's what the Word of God will do. This is not a judgment thing. This is showing. Now, this is another master. If you choose this master, then you'll go the way of that master. But if you choose this way, God makes a way of escape out of it, because we can't change ourselves. We'll see that later. And when they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, worshipers, or whispers. Have you noticed how violent, especially the ones that have gone over to the left, they've become so violent and they want to push back. This last week or so, this man in a pickup ran through a booth that was, it was Trump supporters, and they were giving out literature. And he comes up and he waves at them like he's going to be friendly. And then he zooms through and nearly hits two people. He has two criminal counts against him because he nearly hit two people. Just, it's like they're out of control. They've yielded to that other master. See, Satan hates God, hates everything that's good, clean, righteous. Anything laid down in Genesis, they're going to go against. He said male and female, he created he them, kind after kind. So they go against everything God says. That's what Satan does. He rebels against God. He rebelled against God. He's the head of it. He's the master. Okay, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. They don't. All they do is lie. It's like they have lying spirits in their mouths. They can't tell the truth. Well, Satan's the father of lies. Jesus told him, he said, you're of your father the devil to the religious leaders of his day. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They got a bunch rallying behind them that don't do it, but they promote them. God sees it as the same. Okay. How are we to be rescued? The ark. Okay. Here's our rescue. This is the church's duty right here. This is what we are creating his image to be and to do. Romans 10. Romans 10 shows the person how to become born again. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead? We don't have to say, Lord, come down here and help me. But what saith it? The word is in nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's by faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Then it says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So by faith, we're faith creatures made in the image of God. God said, light be, light was. And that's the way he created us, to speak to our mountains and say, I don't like that. Be this. I'm speaking that to my jury duty Wednesday. I don't like that. Be canceled. If the Lord changes it and said, you need to go, I'll say, okay, I'll back off. I'm not waiting around to hear God tell me something to say. He made me a speaking spirit. He had Adam come forth and say, okay, here's the animals, name them. Call them what you want. Well, that's a hippopotamus. That's a zebra. So when I see situations I don't like, instead of complaining, what do? Call it what I want it. God is a God that calls things that be not as though they were. He saw the earth without form and void. He didn't say, oh my God, what are we going to do? He said, light be. And light was. That's faith. That's the way we've been created in his image, to act just like that. So your first act of faith is becoming born again. No one can say they don't have faith, because it says God's given to every man the measure of faith. So everybody's got faith. You may work it in the negative. You can speak bad stuff out of your mouth and it happens. That's faith. Poppy had an experience like that over a job. You want to tell it or you want me to tell it? He kept saying, I'm not going to get that promotion. I'm not going to get that promotion. And then when he didn't get the promotion, he got mad. And the Lord said, well, Mark 11:24 means what it says. Speaking to the mountain. Tell it to be removed, cast to the sea. See, he worked it. Yeah, you have what you say. So we best be changing. See, that's what God's word does. It changes our vocabulary to where we speak in line with God's word, what we want. That job you want, that salary you want, whatever else you want. Over your children, speak blessing over that little darling. They got enough things to come against in this world. They need their parents to bless. Okay. Let's keep going here. Jesus, through the new birth, gave us back our authority in the earth by his blood and his name. So what Satan did in Genesis 3, through Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, now we are now back in dominion, and we are to take dominion, put the devil under our feet. But before we can take it all back, we have to go through a deprogramming process. You've been propagandized since birth to believe certain things through public school, television, you know what I'm saying. Just being in this world system. So how do we deprogram? Romans chapter 12. I have a series online. It's about New Testament worship. A lot of people think, well, going to church and doing a bunny hop and doing hallelujah, hallelujah, I worship. No. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is our worship. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. In other words, you give up your life, what I want. That's just what it is. I lay it down, Lord. My plans, what I think about things, it says here, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. And we're talking about this world system, the other master that's trying to suck everybody in and take them right down to the pit with him. The church is on a rescue mission to rescue them out of that place. Lovingly, not judgingly. We're not here to judge anybody. We want everybody that's got anything they need help with, we want to be able to help them, whether they be transgenders or homosexuals, because they need us the most. The church is on a love mission, a rescue mission, not a judgment mission. Not if you don't act like us, look like us, you can't come here. Do not be conformed to this world. Let me look up. I wrote here, conformed means to fashion alike or conform to the same pattern. See, there's a narrative being pushed that wants to form us. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is what the Word of God does. I tell the story about myself. I was like 40 years old before I knew what God had called me to do. I didn't know you were to renew your mind. And when I began to, right here, the rest of this verse, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if you want to know God's will for your life, get in the book. And let me say this, and I've had new believers ask me this. They don't understand. Well, I don't make any sense. It's boring. I said, it's not for your mind. It is renewing your mind. But the Bible is a spiritual book, and you are a spiritual man. When you're born again, your spirit man is brought alive. And that book feeds this spirit man. And your mind may not get it right now, but your spirit man gets it, and he understands it fully, or she. So you will begin to know. When you begin to know in here, wisdom begins to come into your mental. You'll begin to think, oh, that's what God wants me to do. You see that? It's very simple. A lot of people live their whole life, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars going to college, and they're just not happy, not satisfied, don't know what they want to do. God has called them to do something. Everyone is preordained by God to do something. But it's up to you to I sacrifice myself, my will, my way. Lord, I will renew my mind and I will find out what you want me to do. And you know, when you do that, you'll be the happiest because you're in your place. Now let's keep going. For I say to the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So what does God do? When you find out what he wants you to do, then grace comes on you to do it, and he makes it easy. And it's not about you boasting, I've got PhD XYZ after my name. It's about God has graced me to do this. I give all the glory to him. Okay, y'all see that? You being born into the God of this world system, you've been brainwashed or propagandized. The Bible calls it conformity. Because we didn't know anything else. That's how people can say they are born again, but they still do things that are anti-word of God. That's how someone can be in one of these lifestyles and say, I'm a Christian, because they've not gone through the renewing of the mind process. Because when you begin to go through that, you begin to think, quit thinking like the God of this world, the other master, and you begin to turn and begin to think like God. You start seeing things his way, and when you do that, man, then you start operating in the kingdom of God and in God's ways. We've got to have our minds right. See, the Spirit's perfect, and it's already set. But these minds, this is what gives us the trouble. This is where the warfare is in our minds. The devil comes and tries to fight our minds to go against God's will. You know, the little devil and the angel on the shoulder deal? You know, it's not really like that, but it's kind of like that. Because God has a perfect will and a plan. He has a general will, but then when you get in the book, you begin to see His divine will. That's what I'm called to do. I remember years ago, we were at a pizza place, Pinocchio's Pizza. Someone had asked me to be a teacher at a Christian school. I say, I'm not a teacher. And the Holy Spirit just said, don't ever say that again. Well, look at me now. 26 years, television, radio, teaching the Word of God. I didn't know that. Not until I got in God's will and saw what He left me in His will. He's got my whole life planned out, and He does yours too. And it doesn't happen overnight, but just doing it every day. It's little by little. I mean, it's not hard. It's not rocket science, but it works if we do it. And that's why so many people in church are disgruntled. Because when a body comes together and everybody knows their place and does it, there's no fighting. Everybody is graced in their place, anointed to do what God's called them to do, and we get the work done. We've got a lot of work to do before God comes back. Okay, this is a dangerous place to walk. To be a Christian and not know God's will is a dangerous place to walk, I think. You're going to be unhappy and unfulfilled. It's called double-mindedness. It's like you're trying to serve two masters. And James says that the double-minded man won't receive anything from the Lord. Because you're going to have to be convinced. Faith is convinced. You speak to that mountain and you're convinced, I spoke it, it happens. But if I'm wavering, I'm not sure about all of this, you're not going to see the results you want. All right. Here are some of the things that I wrote down that are places that this society, homosexuality, transgenderism, spiritual earth, climate change, extreme diets, extreme exercise, these are just a few. These are the traps, mind traps, that Satan gets people locked into. Because it's not a physical, the weapons of our warfare are not flesh and blood, it says. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They are spiritual weapons. That's how we do our warfare. Well, I better go there. This is 2 Corinthians 10. You can see it's all about the battle for your mind. When you were born into this world, the battle of your mind began. We can't change ourselves. A lot of people try. All right, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds. Now I'm going to show you here what the weapons are. Casting down imaginations. These thoughts come that are not in line with God's word. That's Satan. You're to cast that thought down, and so you have God's word in its place. Casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. So you're saying, I am this will of Satan, I'm bringing it under control of the will of God. That's the warfare. That's the warfare of a Christian. Not flesh and blood. If it's radical and extreme, you can pretty well know which master it is. Yeah, the devil's very much into the extremes. We walk by the fruit of the Spirit, which is well-balanced, not extremes. You meet a person that's really extreme in things, you know, they've got some problems, mind problems. Satan has an agenda, the now. And he is pushing our world right now, the new world order. But he won't win, praise God. All right? Let's look again, 1 Timothy 4. This is another, it tells us some symptoms of a world out of order. And when the world's out of order, you know the people are out of order. When the church gets in order, then the world's going to get in order. This is 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. This too, y'all understanding this? Not too difficult? Okay. They're used to it, so I hammer them pretty good on Sunday usually. All right. 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's what I've been talking about. How do you think they come? Homosexuality is not born that way. It is a demon suggestion. And you can decide that's the way I'm going to go. They convince the person, well, God made a mistake. Or transgender, well, you're really a man. But if you listen to that long enough, they yield to it. You can see that. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You know, the vegetarianism and all of that stuff, you know, it's a big thing. Some of these Democratic runners wanted, or Democrat, they wanted to get everybody to be vegan. I forget which one that one was. You know, just say, nope, I got to have my hamburgers. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it was received with thanksgiving. So meat's clean to eat, you know. But see, I'm telling you, the devil brings us. He's trying to counter everything God has said that's good and clean and good. He's saying, no, it's this way, it's this way, it's this way, and trying to get as many people behind it. For every creature God gives is good, nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Pray over it, bless it, and eat it. I heard Brother Hagin say, even if you got to eat a skunk, just pray over it. I mean, you may be in a place where you don't have anything else. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So you can see here, people, instead of getting in the Word of God excessively, they're excessively doing all these things to make themselves better and to placate. Where they need to be is in the book. So devil's got them out here just doing all this stuff, and they totally miss everything God wanted them to do. Okay, the answer is to transform by God's word. Transform means metamorphose, which is like the caterpillar into a butterfly. You're not doing it by your own efforts. You're just reading it. You're getting in it and reading it every day, and little by little, all this junk, you're being changed. It says we're being renewed into His image. Sons of God. You can fix yourself or change yourself on just willpower just for so long. You know, it's going to fail. But your real act of worship is saying, okay, Lord, I lay my life down, do with it what you want. Then you get in the book. You're required to give up your ways and let God work in you by renewing your mind with His word. Satan has a will for you. Kill, steal, destroy. God has a will for you, life and that abundantly and more abundantly. Many people live and die, never know what they were born to do and they are or what they're supposed to do. God has a plan. Last scripture. Jeremiah 29:11. You know, with the Lord taking charge, taking the reins, to me it's a big relief. I don't have to try to fix myself.
29:11?
Yeah. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not for evil, to give you an expected end." So God has a good plan. He don't have any bad ones. So I encourage you today. I don't know if you have one of these. Do you have one of these? It's just the three books, but it's a combined. Anyway, I bought each one of y'all one of these. This is how we started out. It has a section on general confessions. It has a section on finances. Then it has a section on healing. And they're just general confessions that you can, as a start, to speak every day over your life. You'll have to, you can read the whole book, but there's three sections in there. Just general confessions, for healing, God's medicine, and then for finances. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I still read mine after all these years. Been doing it since 1988. I still make the same general confession. So this will help your renewal process start. The more you read it, the sooner it'll be over.
Thank you.
Welcome. You have one, right? Yeah.
You through?
Yeah. I said,